And I'm Nikki Strong, and this is VOA One of the Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. Coming up on the program, Dan Friedel reports on Bosnian children who are sending Ukrainian children presents for the holidays. Faith Perlow answers a question on ABLE and IBLE suffixes. And later, we listen to The Gift of the Magi by O. Henry. But first,
hundreds of children in Bosnia-Herzegovina are working on a project that will make children living through the war in Ukraine smile this winter. The Bosnian children have been filling small boxes with warm clothes, toys, candies, and other simple gifts to be sent to the children of Ukraine for the holidays. They are working on a project started by the War Childhood Museum in Sarajevo. The museum collects and saves personal records and items from children affected by the war in the former Yugoslavia in the 1990s. Jasminko Halilovic is the founder and director of the museum. He said its collection includes gifts donated by the people who had received them while growing up in wartime Bosnia. So Halilovic said, "The museum wanted to do something good, to do something for children of Ukraine." Sara Nur Spahic is an 11-year-old student at the school in Sarajevo. She said, "When I told my dad that we will prepare gifts for children in Ukraine, he told me how happy such gifts had made him and his friends feel when they received them during the Bosnian War." Spahic added, "I hope the children in Ukraine will be equally happy," while writing notes for the gifts. Another student, Tarek Kulinovic, said he put in small things that can be easily carried, like candies and toys, because the Ukrainian children often must flee their homes within minutes to seek shelter in basements and subway stations. Elvira Velich-Muftic is a teacher at the Safet Beg Basajic Primary School in Sarajevo. She was older during the war 30 years ago, but she remembers her experience too. She said, "Working on the gift boxes for Ukrainian children had her thinking about the days she spent teaching children who could not leave Sarajevo." Many of her current students have also heard from their parents about their experiences during the war. Because of that, she said, they can understand how the Ukrainian children must feel. Russia started its attacks on Ukraine in late February, about 10 months ago. "I believe that receiving these gifts will make the children much happier because they will know someone is thinking of them," Velich Muftic said. Mirela Gecko works at the museum. She remembered a gift box she received in 1993 at age 5. It came from a 7-year-old Bosnian refugee living in Denmark. Gecko called it a box of wonders. It included paper, pencils, crayons, and sweet-tasting toothpaste for children. She said, "It made me unbelievably happy, as if the war had stopped for a moment and only wonderful things were happening to me." I'm Dan Friedel.
This week on Ask a Teacher, we will answer a question about how to use ABLE and IBLE suffixes. Hello, teacher. I am MD Abdurrahman from Bangladesh. I am a student and have been learning English for a long time. To improve my listening and speaking skills, every night I listen to the VOA English podcast. However, I am not good at English spelling, mainly when I write sentences. I feel confused over suffixes like ABLE versus IBLE. How can I be an expert in English spelling? Please help me and share your valuable suggestions. Sincerely yours, MD Abdurrahman. Thank you, Abdurrahman, for writing to us. English spelling is difficult, even for native speakers. The English writing system is old, and it does not match up with how we pronounce things now. But there are rules and methods we can use that might help improve our spelling ability. We add the suffixes ABLE and IBLE to the ends of words to create an adjective meaning able to. For example, fixable. I broke the coffee pot. Do you think it's fixable? We pronounce both endings with a schwa. It is used in expressing unstressed central vowels, like in the word visible. If you drive out to the countryside, the stars are even more visible. The ending A-B-L-E is more common because it is considered a living suffix. This means that we can create new words with it. We do not use the suffix I-B-L-E to make new words because it is used for Latin-based words. And there are no new Latin words, as it is now a dead language with no native speakers. While there are always exceptions to spelling rules in English, we do have a few rules that can help us figure out which spelling to use. Let's start with A-B-L-E. We add A-B-L-E to full words, often dropping an E in the process. Adorable is a good example. You start with the word adore, which means to love or like very much. Now we drop the E from adore and put able in its place. I saw the most adorable dog on my walk. In this sentence, adorable could be substituted with cute. There are exceptions, though, so watch out for words like available and capable. If you take the suffix off, the roots of these words cannot stand alone. If a word ends in a k or g sound, use A-B-L-E, like the word despicable. Their favorite movie is Despicable Me. Let's move on to I-B-L-E. Remember that the number of words with I-B-L-E will not change because there is a limited number of words from Latin that we use with the suffix. Since it is not a living suffix, we cannot add it to form new words. Most IBLE words cannot stand on their own. They need the suffix to be a word. For example, possible. Pos is not a word. It needs the suffix IBLE to be possible. But like the suffix ABLE, there are exceptions to this rule. Like the word flexible. Flex can be a word on its own. For both suffixes, you should remember general spelling rules. One rule is especially notable. You should drop the E on the end of a word when adding a suffix beginning with a vowel. For example, likable. She was very likable in high school. There is an exception to this rule. Do not drop the E when words end in CE or GE. This has to do with the sounds G or S. The letter E is needed to keep the consonant sound the same. For example, danceable and changeable. Latin music is so danceable. The date is changeable for the tickets. Please let us know if these explanations and examples have helped you. What question do you have about American English? Send us an email at learningenglish@voanews.com. And that's Ask a Teacher. I'm Faith Perlow.
You just heard Faith Perlow present this week's Ask a Teacher report. Hi again, Faith. How was your week?
Great, Dan. I was busy writing my holiday cards to mail out. And you know what I realized?
What's that?
I'm a horrible speller.
Really? But you're an English teacher.
Exactly. So I understand why I'm a horrible speller.
Let me guess. From this week's report, I know that the way we write doesn't always match up with how we pronounce words.
That's correct, Dan. Our writing system and spelling is a mixture of Old and Middle English, which is related to German. French from the Norman invasion in the 11th century, and Latin. And the way we pronounce our vowels changed between the 15th century and the 18th century, during the Great Vowel Shift. So now we are left with an older writing system that doesn't match to the way we say our words.
Wow, I've never even heard of the Great Vowel Shift.
In all, we have about 44 sounds in English, but only 26 letters, which is why I'm such a bad speller.
Well, I suggest you review the spelling rules more, Faith.
I guess you have a point, Dan. I'll go do that now. Thanks for having me on the show.
Sure. See you next week.
VOA Learning English has launched a new program for children. It is called Let's Learn English with Anna. The new course aims to teach children American English through asking and answering questions and experiencing fun situations. For more information, visit our website, learningenglish.voanews.com.
we present a special Christmas story called The Gift of the Magi by O. Henry. Here is Shep O'Neill with the story.
$1.87. That was all. And 60 cents of it in the smallest pieces of money. Pennies. Pennies saved one and two at a time by negotiating with the men at the market who sold vegetables and meat. Negotiating until one's face burned with the silent knowledge of being poor. 3 times Della counted it. $1.87. And the next day would be Christmas. There was clearly nothing to do but sit down and cry, so Della cried, which led to the thought that life is made up of little cries and smiles, with more little cries than smiles. Della finished her crying and dried her face. She stood by the window and looked out, unhappily, at a gray cat walking along a gray fence in a gray backyard. Tomorrow would be Christmas Day, and she had only $1.87 to buy her husband Jim a gift. She had been saving every penny she could for months, with this result. Jim earned $20 a week, which does not go far. Expenses had been greater than she had expected. They always are. Many a happy hour she had spent planning to buy something nice for him, something fine and rare, something close to being worthy of the honor of belonging to Jim. There was a tall glass mirror between the windows of the room. Suddenly, Della turned from the window and stood before the glass mirror and looked at herself. Her eyes were shining, but her face had lost its color within 20 seconds. Quickly, she pulled down her hair and let it fall to its full length. Now, Mr. and Mrs. James Dillingham Young had 2 possessions which they valued. One was Jim's gold timepiece, the watch that had been his father's and his grandfather's. The other was Della's hair. Had the Queen of Sheba lived in their building, Della would have let her hair hang out the window to dry, just to reduce the value of the Queen's jewels. So now Della's beautiful hair fell about her, shining like a brown waterfall. It reached below her knees and made itself almost like a covering for her. And then quickly she put it up again. She stood still while a few tears fell on the floor. She put on her coat and her old brown hat. With a quick motion and brightness still in her eyes, she danced out the door and down the street. Where she stopped, the sign read, Madame Sophronia, hair goods of all kinds. Della ran up the steps to the shop, out of breath. "Will you buy my hair?" asked Della.
"I buy hair," said Madame. "Take your hat off, and let us have a look at it."
Down came the beautiful brown waterfall of hair.
$20," said Madame, lifting the hair with an experienced hand.
"Give it to me quick," said Della.
The next 2 hours went by as if they had wings. Della looked in all the stores to choose a gift for Jim. She found it at last. It surely had been made for Jim and no one else. It was a chain, simple round rings of silver. It was perfect for Jim's gold watch. As soon as she saw it, she knew that it must be for him. It was like him, quiet, and with great value. She gave the shopkeeper $21, and she hurried home with the 87 cents that was left. When Della arrived home, she began to repair what was left of her hair. The hair had been ruined by her love and her desire to give a special gift. Repairing the damage was a very big job. Within 40 minutes, her head was covered with tiny round curls of hair that made her look wonderfully like a schoolboy. She looked at herself in the glass mirror long and carefully. "If Jim does not kill me before he takes a second look at me," she said to herself, "he'll say I look like a song girl. But what could I do, oh, what could I do with $1.87? At 7 o'clock that night, the coffee was made, and the pan on the back of the stove was hot and ready to cook the meat. Jim was never late coming home from work. Della held the silver chain in her hand and sat near the door. Then she heard his step, and she turned white for just a minute. She had a way of saying a little silent prayer about the simplest everyday things. And now she whispered, "Please, God, make him think I am still pretty." The door opened and Jim stepped in. He looked thin and very serious. Poor man, he was only 22, and he had to care for a wife. He needed a new coat and gloves to keep his hands warm. Jim stopped inside the door, as immovable as a dog smelling a bird. His eyes were fixed upon Della. There was an expression in them that she could not read, and it frightened her. It was not anger, nor surprise, nor fear, nor any of the feelings that she had been prepared for. He simply looked at her, with a strange expression on his face. Della went to him. "Jim, my love," she cried, "do not look at me that way. I had my hair cut and sold because I could not have lived through Christmas without giving you a gift. My hair will grow out again. I just had to do it. My hair grows very fast. Say Merry Christmas, Jim, and let us be happy. You do not know what a beautiful, nice gift I have for you." "You have cut off your hair?" asked Jim, slowly, as if he had not accepted the information, even after his mind worked very hard. "Cut it off and sold it," said Della. "Do you not like me just as well? I am the same person without my hair, right?" Jim looked about the room as if he were looking for something. "You say your hair is gone?" he asked. "You need not look for it," said Della. "It is sold, I tell you, sold and gone too. It is Christmas Eve, boy. Be good to me, for it was cut for you. Maybe the hairs of my head were numbered," she went on with sudden serious sweetness, "but nobody could ever count my love for you. Shall I put the meat on, Jim?" Jim seemed to awaken quickly and put his arms around Della. Then he took a package from his coat and threw it on the table. "Do not make any mistake about me, Del," he said. I do not think there is any haircut that could make me like my girl any less. But if you will open that package, you may see why you had me frightened at first." White fingers quickly tore at the string and paper. There was a scream of joy, and then, alas, a change to tears and cries, requiring the man of the house to use all his skill to calm his wife. For there were the combs, the special set of objects to hold her hair that Della had wanted ever since she saw them in a shop window. Beautiful combs made of shells, with jewels at the edge, just the color to wear in the beautiful hair that was no longer hers. They cost a lot of money, she knew, and her heart had wanted them without ever hoping to have them. And now the beautiful combs were hers, but the hair that should have touched them was gone. But she held the combs to herself, and soon she was able to look up with a smile and say, "My hair grows so fast, Jim." Then Della jumped up like a little burned cat and cried, "Oh, oh!" Jim had not yet seen his beautiful gift. She happily held it out to him in her open hands. The silver chain seemed so bright. "Isn't it wonderful, Jim? I looked all over town to find it. You will have to look at the time 100 times a day now. Give me your watch. I want to see how it looks on it." Instead of obeying, Jim fell on the couch and put his hands under the back of his head and smiled. "Dell," said he, "let us put our Christmas gifts away and keep them a while. They are too nice to use just right now. I sold my gold watch to get the money to buy the set of combs for your hair. And now, why not put the meat on?" The Magi were wise men, wonderfully wise men, who brought gifts to the baby Jesus. They invented the art of giving Christmas gifts. Being wise, their gifts were wise ones. And here I have told you the story of two young people who most unwisely gave for each other the greatest treasures of their house. But in a last word to the wise of these days, let it be said that of all who give gifts, these two were the wisest. Everywhere they are wisest. They are the Magi.
And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak.